We want to continue our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we come to a very exciting portion of that book this morning, very special portion of the book of 1 Thessalonians, where it talks about what's waiting for us someday. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope." This is important. This is serious. It's concerning them which are asleep. That's not talking about sleep in the bed. That's not talking about resting on your pillow. That's talking about those that have died. And that's rather somber and rather sobering and rather serious concerning them which are asleep. But Paul here tells the brethren that he doesn't want them to be ignorant. To be ignorant is to lack the understanding and knowledge that one ought to have. He doesn't want them to come up short in their understanding of a certain thing here. And this certain thing is about those that have died. He wants them to know something for sure about those who have died. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Now, there's some folks, evidently, that don't understand this and don't know this and need to know this. And there's some that don't have this hope. This hope right here, it's a hope that's tied to resurrection. And oftentimes, as a matter of fact, most of the time when Paul talked about hope, he tied it to resurrection. That's the certain hope. That's the sure hope. That's the steadfast hope. That's the hope that's an anchor for our souls. That's the hope that'll help us not to sorrow like some folks sorrow. You'll still sorrow at the loss of a loved one, but not like those that don't have hope. Hope that's tied to resurrection. Let me show you where Paul tied hope to resurrection. He's already done it in this same book of 1 Thessalonians earlier in the letter. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. "For what is our hope? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" What was Paul's hope? That they's all going to be with Jesus when He came in the presence of Jesus at His coming. Paul said, that's my hope. Paul defined his hope right there. That's the hope Paul's talking about. That when Jesus comes back, we're going to be with Him. When Jesus comes back, He's going to bring those that are with Him, with Him. And the bodies are going to raise, and that's what this passage is going to talk about, that hope that waits for us, that certain hope of resurrection. Paul tied hope and resurrection together numerous times in his writings, in the statements that he made. In Acts chapter 23 through 26, it gives us detailed information about Paul's trials as he's accused of the Jews and comes before those Roman governors. Acts 23:6. "But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees," these that have come to accuse him, he sees that some of them are Pharisees and some of them are Sadducees. Now what Paul knows here is that the Pharisees believe in a resurrection, the Sadducees don't. So what he does is drive a wedge between his accusers right here by saying something. "When Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I'm called into question.'" That's what they've accused me of, is hoping that there's going to be a resurrection. Well, some of the accusers jumped right on his side at that point. But what we're looking for right there is that Paul tied his hope and the resurrection of the dead together. That's what Paul's hope was. That's the hope he's talking about here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. Now, some folks don't have that hope because they may not understand it. They don't know it. They're ignorant to it. Now, I want you to understand these things, brothers, concerning those which have passed on, concerning those which are asleep, so that you don't sorrow like those that have no hope. Acts 24:15. Back to Paul's connection between hope and resurrection. It says, "And have hope toward God." Here's my hope toward God. "Which they themselves also allow." The Jews believe this too, he says, "that there shall be a resurrection of the dead." That's Paul's hope. That's his hope toward God. The dead are going to rise one day. He ties hope and resurrection together. Acts 26:6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come." All the Jews, they hope this is going to happen. The tribes of Israel, they hope this is going to happen. "For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Ties that hope that he has to God raising the dead. And that was Paul's hope. In his letter he wrote to Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's Paul's hope, eternal life, resurrection, being with the Lord forever. Titus 2 and 13. Looking for that blessed hope. What is your hope you're looking for, Paul? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's going to describe here in our passage today, is the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul is looking for that hope. And Paul is certain for that hope because God promised it and God cannot lie. And Paul hinges everything on that hope. And Paul wants the brothers to have that hope that he has, so that when we lose a loved one, we don't sorrow like the world sorrows. We don't sorrow like those that don't understand would sorrow. But that we would have a hope that there's something beyond that death. Back to our passage, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. A passage about hope, a passage about resurrection. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Maybe we ought to read the whole passage, but let's just stop right there. Let's just stop right there and think about those words for just a minute. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Paul kind of puts an if there. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Well, if you don't, nothing matters anyway. He's already said that to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to go to that place. If you don't believe Jesus is resurrected, then none of this is going to matter. Nothing really matters, and we're just miserable, and there's no hope that Jesus isn't resurrected. But if you know something in your heart and in your mind from the testimony of history, testimony of the Scriptures, that Jesus did rise again, if you believe that Jesus rose again, then there's something else goes with that. Even so, as certain as it is that Jesus rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, those that are dead. Dead in Christ, but God's going to bring them with him. We'll get to that part in a minute. What we want to talk about first is the certainty that if Jesus resurrected, then there's another one coming. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at that one. If there is such a thing as Jesus' resurrection, then there is such a thing as others who sleep in Jesus, that they'll be resurrected just like Jesus was. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, that resurrection chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received and wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. If you believe this, if you believe that Jesus rose again, if you believe this gospel, what's the gospel he's talking about? He defines that gospel right there. He defines that gospel. It is delivered unto them already, he says, that he had received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that he was buried. And how that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the good news. And Paul said, I've declared this gospel unto you. And it'll deliver you. When you believe it, when you depend on it, when you trust in it, when you hope in that, it'll deliver you. Paul said to the Romans, Romans 8 and 24, you're saved by hope. What hope was he talking about? It's a hope that we see not, but we patiently wait for it. It's the hope of resurrection. And if you'll understand, believe, and see, and know, and be sure about that, that'll deliver you at the time of the loss of a loved one, or is perhaps when you face your own death. If you'll keep that in memory, he says, it'll deliver you. It'll save you. What? The gospel. What gospel? That there's such a thing as a resurrection, that Jesus died and was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, how do we know that, Paul? He goes on and he lists several things here, among which he says, Jesus was seen of over 500 brethren at one time. There's a lot of witnesses out there. He said, go ask them. And Paul said, I also saw him. Last of all, he was seen of me also, he says there in 1 Corinthians 15, 8. Said, above 500 saw him at once. Now, he said, I wasn't there at that time, but he made an appearance to me, and I saw him, and he was alive, and he was real, and he was resurrected. Paul said, I saw him. And I've told you that I've seen him. And all these others have told you that they've seen him. And go ask him. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached and so you believed. You believed in that resurrection. What's it say in our text here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14? If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, If you believe that, then that's the starting point. If you believe that part and are sure about that part, then you can also even so be sure about this part, that those which have died are going to come back with Him. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Whether you believe that or not doesn't make it so or not so. It happened. But if you believe it, you can find some comfort in it. If you believe it, you can be saved for that hope. If you believe it, you can sorrow not as others who have no hope. If you believe it, it will deliver you at the time of the loss of a loved one. Paul didn't want you to be ignorant. He wanted you to understand these things so you could be delivered at least from some of your sorrow. If you'll understand that this is not all there is, this world, that's going to help you along the way, my friends. So Paul said, at one time you believed that. But we continue in 1 Corinthians 15 now, because they started to doubt. If you doubt about these things, if you doubt about the resurrection of Christ, then you're going to doubt about your own resurrection or your loved one's resurrection. But I want you to be certain, says Paul, that there is such a thing as a resurrection. Jesus was resurrected. 1 Corinthians 5 and 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Paul is tying these two things together. If Christ rose, then there's such a thing as resurrection. And if there's such a thing as resurrection, you're going to rise too, my friends. If you know that Christ died and rose again from the grave, even so, all of His children are going to rise from the grave. It's just tied together so connected together in the Scriptures that there's no doubt about it. But you see, they've begun to doubt about such a thing as the resurrection in Corinth. If Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? They sort of got like the Sadducees, and they kind of got to a point where they were reasoning too much. You can reason too much. We're supposed to reason about the Scriptures. Come, let us reason together. But I'll tell you what, you let that natural mind go to reasoning too much, and you can begin to doubt some true spiritual things. That's what had happened here at Corinth, it seems like. He goes on and tells them, you want to take resurrection out of my gospel? Then you don't have a gospel. You want to take resurrection out of Christianity, and you've got nothing. You've got nothing more than anybody else has got if you take resurrection out. As profound and unbelievable sometimes it is, as it is, that God can find all those bodies and put them back together, you believe that He can do it because He can. Paul goes on here and says, what if? We've got a what if passage here. What if there's no such thing as a resurrection? Some of you are thinking that. He says, 1 Corinthians 15, 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If there's no such thing as resurrection, although I've already told you that 500 plus saw Him and I've seen Him, and you believe that at one time, but you've begun to doubt it. But he said, if there's no such thing as resurrection, then Christ didn't risen. And if Christ be not risen, now He is, but Paul says, if He's not, what if He wasn't? If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Everything we preach amounts to nothing. And your faith is also vain. Everything you're believing in is amounting to nothing. If you're believing in a dead God, then what do you have? You've got nothing. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if there's no such thing as resurrection. Whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. He said, I've been going around telling everybody that Christ raised and that God raised Him. And if there's no such thing as that, I'm just a liar. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Let you two options. If there's no such thing as resurrection, then everybody's died is just perished. Burning in hell. Destroyed forever. But if there's such a thing as resurrection, you've got a hope. You've got a certain hope. You've got a better hope. You've got a good hope. You've got a gospel hope if there's such a thing as resurrection. Because resurrection is the gospel. This is my gospel, said Paul, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel news. That's the good news. That's the resurrection news, that Jesus is risen. But Paul said, you're thinking He's not. Well, what if He isn't? Then you're perished. All that are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That's the two extremes. Paul said, I want you to know something to the Thessalonians. He wants you to know that those that have fallen asleep in Christ, that there's hope. There's hope concerning them which are asleep. But he says, if there's no such resurrection, then there's no hope for such as those. There's no hope for those who have died. But they've perished. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's Paul's summation statement. If there's no such thing as resurrection, if you're going to put your hope on something in this world, a lot of times we use hope that way. I hope I could win the lottery. So what? So what if there's no such thing as resurrection? What's a lottery? What's anything? Nothing matters. Nothing matters if there's no such thing as resurrection. If your hope is in this life only, you're miserable. Listen to this. But, 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Catch that even so. That's what he said up here in the verse, wasn't it? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. But Christ is risen from the grave. All that other's wrong, said Paul. All those what ifs, that doesn't matter. Because Christ is risen from the grave and he's become the first fruits. He's the first fruits of them that slept. Those that are falling asleep, they're going to rise again. Christ is the first to rise, but there's more to follow. Even so shall all be made alive in Christ. All that are in Christ are going to be made alive in Christ when he comes back. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. To sleep in Jesus, what's that mean? Isaiah 57:1-2. The righteous perisheth and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away. Good folks die. That's what that's saying. Good folks die, but nobody understands this. Nobody considers this part. Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken from the evil to come. That's for comfort down here. When you lose a loved one, it was in God's hands, and he took that loved one, knowing what would have happened to them if they'd stayed here a little longer. God took them away from that evil that was to come to them if they'd stayed in this world, and God just took them on up yonder. Isn't that glorious? That's good, my friends. That's good that God takes us on up yonder and spares us from evil that would come to us in this life. So the righteous man dies, and nobody looks at it this way, and merciful men are taken away by God, but you don't consider perhaps at that time that that righteous person was taken away from the evil to come. Here's the verse we're looking for. Here's the verse talking about sleeping in Jesus. He shall enter into his peace. That one that dies, he enters into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Now, that's strange, isn't it? How do you rest in your bed and walk at the same time in your uprightness? Having been made righteous by Jesus, they're walking. Where are they walking? In heaven, spiritually speaking. Those spirits that have gone on to heaven are walking. Where are they resting in beds? In the grave, the body. The Bible talks about that here, there, and everywhere. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God that gave it. That's those that sleep in Jesus. That's those that are asleep in the grave, but they're in Jesus with Jesus now. They're with Jesus now, the spirit. Their bodies are in the grave. That thief, Jesus looked at him and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. They buried that thief's body that day. That thief's body slept. But that thief's spirit went to Jesus to be with him in paradise. Paul said, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. The body's still here and we bury that body. But the Spirit's present with the Lord. The Spirit is in paradise. The Spirit is walking in its uprightness. The Spirit has returned to God who gave it, while the body rests and sleeps in the grave. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When Jesus comes, those folks are going to come with him. They're with him, but they're still here. The body's here, but the spirit's with him. And when he comes back, those spirits are going to come with him. Listen to those words again. Even so, them also which sleep, which are dead in the ground here, sleep in Jesus, will God bring with Jesus. It's going to tell us here in just a minute about Jesus coming back, about Jesus coming down, about Jesus coming down to the cloud and shouting. And when he does, he's going to bring the spirits of your departed loved ones with him. So I don't want you to sorrow like others would sorrow, not having a hope. Those that you loved are with Jesus now. Their spirits with them, their bodies you buried, but their spirits were taken back to be with the Lord who had given them that spirit. And when Jesus comes back, those spirits of your loved ones, that part of them that you loved and knew and understood, that which is mystical life that you can't even explain, that part's with Jesus in paradise right now, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Let's read our text again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? If you believe that, then believe this part too. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Jesus said this too when he was here. He said it to Martha in John chapter 11. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's those that are dead and they're going to live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If you're still here when Jesus comes, you'll never die. You'll be changed immediately. And that's what he's going to talk about here. But that's what Paul says. He says, I'm telling you what the Lord's already told you. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, precede, that is, go ahead of, or be before, them which are asleep. the dead or the alive, when he comes down here, it's really not going to matter. It's going to work out the same for both of them. They're going to all get new bodies. They're going to all, God's children, are going to go home to be with Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What's going to happen? The Lord's going to descend. Those apostles were standing there looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden he starts rising up from the earth in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. When Jesus had spoken these things, while they looked upon him, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. That's two angels. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. That same Jesus is himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That same Jesus that went up through that cloud is coming back on that cloud. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's a glorious time, my friend. He's going to descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And what's going to happen then? The dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a glorious time. The most glorious moment in history. What we're looking for, it's our hope. It's what we need to understand and realize and take hold of, and it'll get us through, and it'll help us along the way, and it'll deliver us from our sorrows, and it'll help us when we lose loved ones, and it'll help us when we face death and think about death. That death ain't all there is. That spirit's gone on, but even that body that we bury is going to come back. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15:49, where we get a little more detail. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Whose image are you going to have? Romans 8:29 said we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. A destiny waiting for you. Predetermined by God. Brought to pass by God that one day you're going to be conformed to that heavenly image of the Son of God. Philippians 3:21. Change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Conformed to that heavenly image of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You're already a child of God. You've been born again. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Heavenly image. Conformed to the image of the Son of God. Our vile body fashioned like his glorious body. How good is that, my friends? That's your destiny. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We're not going to get there looking like we do now and being like we are now. We shall not all sleep, it says that. I want to show you a mystery, Paul says. We're not going to all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump. Remember that trump that sounded in Thessalonians? Speaks of that same trump in Corinthians. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Back to 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Are you looking to meet with Jesus? Are you looking for that glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the chapter closes, wherefore comfort one another with these words. No better words of comfort in all the world, in all the Bible, than the hope of resurrection. Comfort yourselves in those words. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll join us next time.